Men, if you're ready to reclaim your edge, listen up. I used to be held back by constant bathroom trips, with multiple wake-ups during my sleep and looking for restrooms whenever I was out. Then I discovered Better Man. After just 2 months, I started experiencing fewer trips to the bathroom, less urge to go, and I even slept through some nights. I feel a noticeable boost in my overall well-being, even sexual stamina. It gives me the freedom and confidence to live life on my terms. Better Man is clinically tested and trusted by thousands of men over 25 years. Ready to take back control? Go to BeBetterNow.com to order your supply today. That's BeBetterNow.com.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed. Individual results may vary.
Thank you for once again tuning into the Sports Ethos Nets podcast for another episode. This is your host, Cody Mallory. You can find me on Twitter, as always, at RealCodyMallory. I am once again joined by my two co-hosts, Anthony Dittmar. On Twitter, that is at AnthonyDittmar_, and Joe Farrow. On Twitter, he is SwampDragonStan. How's it going, guys?
What's good, bro? How you doing?
I'm doing okay. How are you guys doing?
Doing pretty all right. I'm not upset. I'm actually overjoyed that we exceeded my record prediction from last week. So
that's the first place I was going. I just had a gloat a little bit. We predicted I was 2-1. The Nets went 2-1. I was right. I just want to let you guys know that I was right. So
did you pay the games right too? Like, did you have win loss?
I did. Yes, I did.
Pain. Well, maybe we'll get a good team one time this year. We have to be at least one good team. We've lost every single one.
At one time. One can hope. One can hope.
Have we beat a good team? Yeah, I really don't think we have. We lost to Miami. We lost the Bulls twice. We lost to Golden State. We lost to Phoenix. We lost the Bucks.
I mean, the only thing that we can say is we beat the Celtics in like the midst of their hot streak. That's the only thing we can say.
And the Sixers, but they're like kind of like they had their full team that game though. So I know they get the record doesn't show it, but like that's because they haven't beaten Tobias for like a big stretch. Now we beat them healthy, so I think that at least counts for something.
We're gonna be able to say after Wednesday that we beat another team in the midst of their hot stretch, the Houston Rockets. Who would have thought? But we'll get to that later. They've won six in a row. That's crazy. But we'll get to that later. At the end. We're gonna all make our picks and track our picks for the rest of the season. See who picks games the best. So you guys look forward to that. Before we dive into the Nets, Anthony, there's a little bit of some news in the NBA today. If you want to talk about it real quick.
So there's a couple different reports, but the main one that was like dropped by Shams that amidst the firing of Portland's GM, Damian Lillard's kind of like unsettled in terms of like his future with the team. I know there was a lot of reports this offseason like he wanted out, but then he kind of refuted them while he was at the Olympics, saying he's committed to the Trailblazers long term, and he kind of was inspired by Giannis in terms of like staying with one team and sticking it through. But there was rumors today that he would either be excited to play with Ben Simmons on the Blazers, or that he would potentially be like suitable elsewhere, like he'd be okay with like a trade eventually if like because of the tension with head coach Chauncey Billups. I don't know if that was his first choice. I thought I saw a report he wanted Jason Kidd at the beginning of the offseason. Was I right about that? Didn't he prefer Kidd at first?
Yeah. Yes, Jason Kidd was his first choice.
Yeah, I don't know if Dallas pried him away first, if Portland wasn't about it, but I know the Chauncey hiring was a little controversial because I know he had some like legal stuff going on. I was not sure exactly what, but it's definitely a situation to monitor because I don't know if Simmons, if he gets there, if you have to give a CJ McCollum and that type of trade, because I don't know what kind of assets the Blazers really have aside from their own picks, which would probably be like middle of the pack. I don't know if that'll really like set them over to the next like leap of like elite NBA teams. If Dame were to want out of Portland, I'm sure the list of suitors would be like at least 10 different teams that would be willing to probably make a trade like that. Most notably, I see a lot of Knicks fans saying they want Dame, which I wonder what they would take for that. But yeah, definitely a notable thing to keep track of because the trade deadline's in February. So I would say something to monitor over the next 2 months for sure.
Kyrie Irving for Dame Lillard. Who says no?
I've been Portland. Saying that, bro.
Portland says no.
Yeah, I'm just messing around. Obviously, I don't think that's realistically ever going to come into it, but
yeah, I mean, I just have one take on the Dame thing. It's like he really wants to win, but he doesn't want to leave or make any outlandish requests. But it's like, dude, like his name is in the news more for stuff around his organization and them trying to please him. Like, if he just requests a trade, all that would be done for. Like, just request the trade, get to your place of interest, and then all of this is over. Like, Portland is, like, as of right now, it's a terribly run organization. They haven't done anything in so long. It's Dame's got to get out of there.
Their moves this offseason was to get, what's his name, Tony Snell. And they got, who else did they get this offseason? Like, someone very minimal. It was like, what are you doing?
Wasn't it like Zeller or something?
Yeah, Cody Zeller. Yeah. Like, well, I don't know. See, if you're trying to win over a Dame, I say you make a bigger move than that. I don't know if you move him a column to get like a bigger piece or if you try to just like make a trade where you get like a third guy. But I don't think the Blazers are a team that operates into the luxury tax. So I'm pretty sure they were just like, yeah, we're going to give you a Tony Snell and hopefully we can run it back again.
Yeah, because it's worked so well the last like 10 times I've tried to run it.
So it's been like 7-8 years now, like the same, like not the same core, because I know there's like the Wesley Matthews, LaMarcus Aldridge era with like Dame, but like this McCollum group has at least been 5 years, I'd say.
Yeah, like it's been Dame, McCollum, and Nurkic and a revolving door of rotational pieces, and it just is not working.
Yeah, I think Dame deserves to be out. I'd be afraid if like a Philly got involved in a trade for Dame, if they offered like a Maxi and a Simmons or something like that. Cause I think a Dame and Bede duo against, if we don't have Kyrie and Harden Durant duo, definitely is formidable. I would not want to mess around with that. But if depending on which team he goes, if he went to the Knicks, I don't really think that put them over the edge. But like, it definitely don't want to get a contender in the East to take him.
Yeah, that's definitely something to monitor. Then we got some DeMar DeRozan news real quick, right?
Yeah, he's tested positive for COVID. He's in the health and safety protocols. It's very notable for the Nets. Not only are the Bulls like one of the top contenders, so like they're in the same standings era, but the Nets played the Bulls on Saturday. So like you never know who could like contracted it from him. Hopefully nobody, but this kind of thing tends to, he probably was in that like little period where like he didn't know he might have had it. So he could have been like very, what's the word to say? He could have spread it easily. So definitely monitor that. Hopefully the Nets get out of this like 3 to 4 day stretch. If they're all clear, I don't think they'll probably contract it from that. But definitely keep track of it. I'd say at least till Friday.
Yeah, that's something to watch. Like you said, hopefully he wasn't contagious during the game, but you never know. And that's something to pay attention to the next couple of days. So with that, let's jump right into the games. So since we spoke last time, they had that back-to-back, the T-Wolves and the Bulls. Let's start with the T-Wolves game. I truthfully and personally missed a majority of it as I was at work. I watched the highlights, watched through the game that I recorded very quickly on like fast forward, etc. Kind of the same narrative that's been going on all season. The Nets beat a team that's not great, and it wasn't a sound win. It came down to the end. Notably from the box score, D'Angelo Russell was very poor this game in Brooklyn. He was 6 of 22 and was a minus 16. On the Nets side, Patty Mills was once again fantastic. 8 of 15, 23 points, was a plus 15. What do you guys want to talk about with this game? It's kind of like a record that just keeps playing over and over again. Bad team, Nets struggle, and then beat them in clutch situation.
Yeah, the most notable thing going into the game was the comment D'Angelo Russell made about like saying, did he have any bad blood for the Nets? I don't think any players besides Joe Harris left in the Nets when he was there, but he did say that if Sean Marks was in a uniform, he would kind of like have it more personal. So I'm assuming there's some a little bit bad blood there. Obviously, the Nets got rid of D'Angelo Russell in the offseason when they got Durant and Kyrie. The Nets should have played better this game. Like Towns wasn't in. I thought they should have like had this game wrapped up in the third quarter going into it, because we kind of could use one of those games because KD's been playing high minutes and we really don't want to burn him out in November, December. Durant obviously was great this game. Harden is one of another Harden struggle games. Like we're coming off another good game. We're hoping to see him play well. He did have 27-9, but another 4 of 11 shooting from the field. He didn't play horrible like to his standards, but definitely like you would want him to build in that good game. And yeah, just like the same kind of stuff. Like Cam Thomas looked at like kind of like okay that game, and it was kind of like just normal stuff for the Nets, taking care of bad teams, but it should have been a better game, like in terms of like keep like blowing it out in the fourth.
Yeah, I agree. James Johnson looked pretty good again. I think he's completely playing himself into the rotation as the backup big. It'll be interesting to see what happens when Claxton's back. He played 3 minutes and picked up 3 fouls against the T-Wolves. So that was interesting to see. James Johnson was 5 of 6, had 11 points, 6 rebounds. He's pretty much cemented himself into the closing lineup because of his defensive ability. He's kind of taken over Blake Griffin's role of a smaller big who can switch on everything. So that's something to keep going forward. Joe, is there anything you want to talk about with the game?
Yeah, I mean, the quality of the game was one of the worst I've ever watched in my life. It was just like the turnovers galore on both sides. Like, there was a combined 32 turnovers in this game. And I think there was like, 14 turnovers in the first quarter. Like, it was unreal. It was like left and right turnovers. Nobody on both sides really felt like they wanted to win that game until KD took that dagger shot. It was just like, it was horrible. Like, there's not a lot of ways to really go about it. Like, we thought, not just gonna rag on one individual player, but I mean, like James Harden had a great shooting night against the Knicks. Then he went over. Then in the Minnesota game, he went back and he shot 4 of 11 again. It's just like there's a lot of guys that didn't shoot very well. The bench, there was like minimal production outside of James Johnson. There was 11 points from James Johnson, but then the rest of the bench combined for 7 points that night. So Patty Mills stepped up big. Aldridge had a solid game as always. KD finished with 30 points as usual, but overall the game was not good. It was very painful to watch, honestly.
Yeah, painful to watch, but an important win to have a positive record on the week because, as we all saw on Saturday, personally, that game against the Bulls was the most frustrated I have been watching the Nets all season this year. And what has been a very frustrating season for many, whether it's been Kyrie obviously not playing, them kind of, surprisingly to say, underachieving despite being the one seed in the East. This game was just, they should have never, ever, ever, ever lost this game against the Bulls. Every single thing the Nets struggle with and reasons they've been losing or not been able to win, they did well in this game. They only had 5 turnovers. They out-rebounded the Bulls by 8. They took 111 shots, and the Bulls only took 86, yet they lost the game. The Nets came out hot. They were scoring a bunch in the first quarter, slowed down in the second, and then it was kind of even. And then in the fourth, they just gave up 32 points. James Harden, I don't want to harp on him, but he was god-awful. He even said in his press conference after the game, put this one on me, blame me, however he said it. He was 5 of 21. He missed a bunch of layups. He only took 4 free throws. The rest of the team only took 9, which is absurd. The Bulls took 27. It was just very frustrating to watch. I didn't agree with Steve Nash playing Bruce Brown in the closing lineup over DeAndre Bembry. I don't think that should have happened. Bruce Brown was 2 of 11. He also missed a bunch of bunnies around the rim. I was frustrated watching it. And the Nets lost by 4, and they pretty much played. They shot horribly, and they don't have Kyrie, and James Harden was terrible, and they were still in the game against the second-best team in the East. So that's my main takeaway. You guys can go what you want to say about it.
The Nets definitely played one of their better games at first, it seemed like, but shooting from the field was definitely ugly. I thought they did limit the turnovers, and they were actually getting second chance points, which is actually like insane for the Nets because they're actually rebounding well despite being undersized comparatively. But yeah, it was just one of those games where Harden struggled again. I felt like you said, Bruce Brown really should have been that closing lineup. I thought Paul Millsap actually finally gave his best minutes of the year. He had 13 points on 6-11 shooting. He had some nice passes. He played some good defense. I actually was kind of impressed with him. I think he needed more run. And he's finally getting consistent minutes now, so he might be able to get like his legs under him. Aldridge was great again. Patty Mills kind of had like a below average game for his standards this year. He did have 12 points, but not usually like usually up in the 20s. And yeah, I thought Bembry should have been in the closing lineup too. And not having James Johnson this game, I think hurt the Nets, especially in the closing lineup, because he's been crucial for their defense. I felt like that definitely took a little toll. Kind of like a maintenance game for his knee. He's going to be back tomorrow, so I don't think it's a big deal. But yeah, definitely a frustrating loss. I wanted to beat them really bad because it would have been big for standings implications and tiebreakers now. Because now if we end up like getting in a tie with them, we're already down 0-2. I think we play three times, right? Is it three or four? So they already lost the season tiebreaker, Chicago. So you never want to like lose season tiebreakers to teams that you're competing with at the top of the East.
Yeah, I mean, I feel the same way about it. It was another odd game. We were in it the whole time. Nobody really shot particularly well. Bruce Brown, he missed a lot of shots at the rim, as did James Harden. It was like Bruce shooting 2 for 11 is like unheard of. Because, I mean, there's not a lot of nights where Bruce takes 11 shots, let alone missing 9 shots. So it was just odd to see. Ham Thomas got 25 minutes in this game. Wasn't his best effort. He shot 3 for 9, but he contributed in other areas. He had 2 assists and 4 rebounds. Millsap, yeah, he had a good game. But Anthony, that's a very odd sentence. I never thought I'd hear from you. Not having James Johnson really hurt the Nets.
Yeah, he's honestly like, I think every time I bully someone, it works because we were bullying James Johnson at the beginning of the year, and then he's kind of been like one of the best rotation players. Then the same with Millsap. So
yeah, doing it. Yeah, I mean, and like I said, I think Paul definitely needed a couple games in a row where he got like consistent minutes to get his legs under him. And that it definitely showed. Paul actually played very, very well. He even knocked down a 3. He got a block. Harden 5 for 21. This was a game where like we actually saw Harden show that burst and be able to beat players off the dribble and get to the rim. But it was just like he was getting there with ease, and it was just like none of them were falling. It was very, very odd. Yeah, it was really odd to see. And he shot 1 of 5 from 3, 5 for 21 total. It was a bad game overall for the Nets and one that they really needed.
Yeah, it was, like I said, it was frustrating. Like you said, Harden was getting there, which is encouraging. It's an encouraging sign because he's been struggling to get there. He hasn't really looked explosive at all. But the fact that he was getting there is good. He just couldn't finish, which is just – I mean, he's been struggling to finish all year, but not to the extent of Saturday night. Also,
looking at the fact – I just wanted to add, there was a lot of a lot of those layups that he was missing. I won't say they're uncontested, but it wasn't ones like where he was getting fouled and not getting the call, as we've been seeing a lot this year. It was a lot of them where like he was getting clean looks at the rim and they just weren't going down. It was very odd.
Right, he just was simply missing.
Yeah.
I think the Nets injuries kind of caught up with them this game. If you look at their bench, they did not have a single player that was a positive and plus minus, which that's kind of looking at it in a vacuum, but that's not a good sign. When you look at your bench, you have minus 14, minus 4, minus 9, minus 8. So obviously not having Joe Harris, not having James Johnson, and Claxton did not play at all in this game.
Blake is out of the rotation.
Blake, so when I saw that James Johnson was out, I really thought that Blake Griffin was going to play, and I was pretty surprised that he didn't even come into the game at all, especially when the Nets were struggling so much from the field.
I think Nash really wants him to get his head right. I think, like, no matter what, I think eventually we're going to see him back. I don't know if it's because of injury or if it's just Nash thinks he's ready to get back if he sees something in practice. But there's going to be a time where Blake gets to prove himself again. I'd say it's within, like, a week or two, if I had a guess, unless everyone else is playing, very well. I just don't know how you go the whole season with this, like, this thin of a bench. Because right now the team's a little thin, if we're going to be honest.
For sure. Yeah, they're putting a lot of pressure on the guys that are starting, mainly Durant and even Harden. They're both playing a ton of minutes, which you don't really want to see in early December now. So anything else you guys want to talk about with the Bulls game? Pretty much my big takeaway is they never, ever should have lost that game, in my opinion. If you look at the box score, like I said, the rebounding, the turnovers, the amount of field goals they had, you would have thought they would have blown out the Bulls, and they lost.
The Bulls are going to be one of the best teams in the East this year, like along with the Nets, I say Heat, Philly, and the Bucks. But the Bulls are going to be scary come playoff time. I don't know if I want to match up with them.
Yeah. The other thing is, the Nets actually caught a break early in this game. One of the better defenders on the Bulls, Alex Caruso, left in like the, I think it might have been the first quarter or early second quarter, with a hamstring injury, and he wasn't available for the rest of the game. So, and they still weren't really able to capitalize on that. So it was just disappointing.
That's what concerned me the most with Harden was Caruso. I officially leaves the league in steals per game, and he only played 8 minutes. I could see if Harden was struggling because he had Caruso hounding all game, kind of like Mikal Bridges did to Curry and Harden. But the fact that Caruso left and Harden still struggled, that was made it most concerning to me.
Yeah.
But we got to move on. It's just one game out of 82 in the postseason. Like I've said before, there is never a slow day for news with the Nets. Today, Scoop B dropped a story on Kyrie Irving about his stance on the vaccine. He doesn't want to be viewed as anti-vaccination. He just doesn't like any of the options that are currently available. And they could have pointed out to his plant diet. He might be waiting for an all-plant vaccine. I honestly don't know what to take of this. So I'm going to put it on you guys, and then I'll kind of fill in after. What do you guys think about the story in general? I think it's incredibly weird. And yeah. Kyrie Irving's very reserved. And I'm surprised when ever news drops about him, because who is he telling this to?
I don't know. I mean, like, First of all, I really appreciate you dropping this on us, but it's just like I don't even know. Like he's saying he's a voice of the voiceless by not taking the vaccine, and I get it, I really do. But it's just like, come on, man! Like you're waiting on a plant-based vaccine. Like you're gonna openly take the plant-based version and just say that the other ones are just like, no, I'm not good with the other ones. But yeah, this plant-based one, that's for me. It sounds ridiculous. I don't really have anything to say about it. It's just like,
it really sounds ridiculous.
Yeah. Like, no, that's the only way I thought about it. I'm just like, all right, I get it. Whatever.
Yeah. I know a lot of people in like other countries I saw were like, doing this a vegan diet as well to like get around taking vaccinations, because there is something about that where like it does exempt you in certain countries if you have that kind of diet. But, and so like I don't know if that's what Kyrie's idea was. I know he's been vegan for a few years. I don't think that really is that. The most infuriating part about the report was that he's the happiest he's been in years, because like I saw Anthony Puccio tweet. He's like, if you're happiest you've been in years and you're cool with not playing basketball, then he literally said just retire. I don't know if I want Kyrie to retire, because obviously he's very important for this Nets team, but it's infuriating to hear these reports keep leaking. I don't know if he's telling people this or like it's this close circle, but at the end of the day, we're a quarter into the season now, and this is the most important season in not just Brooklyn Nets history, but I'd say in the Nets history, because this is like the best they've ever been in terms of like talent on the roster, and having this go on and take away from the season after like the infuriating aspect of last year with all the injuries, knowing you probably were the best team, makes it even more like controversial. And I think we're getting close to a boiling point. I don't think we're there yet, because I think there's still a little bit more time for that. Like I mentioned before, I think around like January time, come close to trade deadline, it's going to get even worse, because it's like we need to make a decision now. But I don't see this. I'm hoping this ends well. I don't know when we'd get a plant-based vaccine, if that's even like what he wants, but it's getting to a point now where like Nets fans are getting kind of sick of it.
Yeah, personally, I'm happy that Kyrie's happy. Obviously, I want him to play basketball. I would hope he'd be happy making millions of dollars to play a sport that he's supposed to love. As for the retirement thing, I've had a couple people tweet at me like, "Oh, Kyrie, just retire already." That is literally the worst case scenario out of any possible scenario for the Brooklyn Nets. If you're a Brooklyn Nets fan, you do not want Kyrie Irving to retire. While yes, I like Kyrie and don't want to trade him, at least getting something back is better than nothing. If he straight up retires, the Nets have this roster and there's very little flexibility on anything they can do with it coming to the trade deadline. And while yes, there's uncertainty around Kyrie, and like I said, I do not want the Nets to trade them, so don't go running around saying, "Oh, Cody said trade Kyrie for a role player." That's not what I'm saying.
Cody said trade him for the worst player in the league.
Trade him for to get a TLC back.
But literally, if he retires, you get nothing out of him at all. Yeah. So that is the worst possible situation or ending to the situation, is that he just straight up retires and says he's not playing basketball anymore. So I just want to put that out there. I feel very strongly about that. And if he retires, it's just, that would probably be the worst day for the Nets since he announced that he wasn't, or he got suspended.
Did you ever watch the episode of SpongeBob where it's like Gary come home?
Yes.
All I can think about was like Kyrie come home and like that song playing. Like Kyrie come back, man.
Yeah, I mean, I think I said last time, Kyrie's probably my favorite player on the Nets. Like, obviously, I just love watching him play the game. He's so fun to watch play. He brings so much energy, and like, he's showtime. Basically, it sucks. I don't know what else to say besides that it sucks.
I want a championship, man.
Yeah, I would love that too. But which leads me into, with James Harden's struggles, the amount of minutes Kevin Durant's playing, do you think the Nets will revisit Kyrie Irving being allowed to practice with the team, which he was cleared to do by the city, and play on away games?
I saw your tweet the other day. Like, I think it was today or yesterday. You're like, Kyrie Irving could play in four games this week if the Nets let him. I think the Nets' idea at first was to try to like strong arm him to like be a full time player and not let him get what he wants and be a part time player. But I think there's gonna have to be a decision, like we said in February, if is there a good enough return for Kyrie where it's like it's worth it, or is it just better to play Kyrie Irving in all the road games? Honestly, like it might just come down to that, where it's like it's you can put your best team forward. And the only interesting part about that is if like, would you want a lower seed then? If you Kyrie for the more road games, because you technically would have an extra road game in the series. Like, I know we want the one seed and all, but like home court advantage means one extra game. So game seven, you'd have a Kyrie Irving. That's the interesting wrinkle I was just thinking about.
I don't see a world where the Nets even think about letting Kyrie come back to play road games. I don't see the organization being okay with that. I see them just being frustrated overall, and as is everybody, but I don't think they're going to be frustrated to a point where they just give in and allow him to play road games. I think it's more likely that we trade him than it is likely that we allow him to play road games. That's just how I'm seeing it right now, because when you're saying, is there a good enough return for Kyrie Irving? The issue is, at this stage of the game, if they're frustrated to the point where they're ready to think about trading him, they're not caring. They don't care about getting the greatest possible return, because the chances are you're not going to bring him back in free agency anyway. So that's something you have. If there's a move where it's not an equal return, but it's good enough that you think your team will be able to be pushed over the hump to get you to a championship this year with what you have, then that's something they have to consider rather than just allowing him to play road games and getting half of Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, see, it's obviously a tough situation and everyone has a different opinion on it. I personally did not like the decision to begin with when they first announced he wasn't allowed to play away games, especially since he is allowed to practice. I think if he wasn't allowed to practice, that would have been a different situation. But since even if the Nets are at home, he could still be practicing with the teams, et cetera. He just can't play. I did not like the decision to begin with. Even like Anthony said, last year, picture this season, you're playing against the Bucks. You could have had Kyrie Irving in game seven. Like, you could have had him in the other games too. Like, it's not an ideal situation, but I think it's better than nothing. And it allows you to buy some time until the offseason. I think 50% of Kyrie is better than 100% of whatever you can get back from him. And at the end of the day, like we've been saying, the ultimate goal is to win a championship. And if it comes down to it, it comes down to it, in my opinion.
Why did they just make Barclays Center a retractable roof? Because you could, that's the thing, like football players and baseball players were cool about being vaccinated because it was like not enclosed. Like, open up Barclays Center, tell Joe's aside to just open it up and just tell Nets fans to bundle up.
Could you imagine? But no, I mean, I understand that from like a logical standpoint, it does make sense to like that half of Kyrie Irving is probably better than what we're going to get in return. But it's like, I don't see the organization taking that mindset.
Yeah, it's just a weird situation. I hope the Nets and Kyrie can come to good resolution. Everyone has their own takes. There's like a million different takes right now on Nets Twitter. And it's honestly like the biggest thing that's like has everybody like divided right now, I would say, aside from like the James Harden debates and stuff. I say the Kyrie takes now, every time a new report comes out, it's like I see a different million different opinions. And each one has their fair points. And each one has their like obviously their cons and their pros, but it's just something that's going to consume this entire season every time something like this comes out. And I'm sure we'll have more of these kind of reports.
Yeah, it sucks. Like I've been saying the entire time I've been recording this pod, but Sean Marks, Steve Nash, Josiah, it's ultimately their decision. So it's just something we got to pay attention to, kind of see how things are trending and just hope for the best possible outcome. So to kind of transition away from Kyrie, but still talk about Kyrie in the same sense, what once was going to be a dynasty for 3 to 5 years, I would say, with the big three of Harden, Kyrie, and Durant has become very cloudy and uncertain. Obviously, Durant is locked up. That being said, with the player empowerment, even if a player is locked up, they can force their way out. I don't think Kevin Durant will do that, but that is always a very slim option. And then the play of James Harden hasn't been great. And obviously Kyrie's not playing. So kind of what are you guys' thoughts on the future outlook of what we once thought was going to be a very good big three for a very, very long time?
If you go back to like the second week of September after Kevin Durant, like won his a few weeks after he won his Olympic gold medal, he signed the extension. Sean Mark says we'll have Harden and Kyrie's done within the next few weeks. It seems like once those extensions came in, we're like, okay, we don't got to worry about like this drama of players leaving and going, at least for, I'd say at least 2 to 3 years, two very minimum. I'd say at least three personally. It seemed like that's what it was heading towards. There was always the rumors that Harden was just going to wait to this offseason because like it just made sense financially. He left a lot of money on the table in Houston. And now why would he forfeit more in Brooklyn when he could just wait to the offseason and resign? And he's kind of like admitted, like he's like, I'm going to resign. And just like, it's just in terms of like money-wise, it makes sense. He just didn't want to be a forefront and say it like that. But now with his play like this and the Kyrie uncertainty, it went from a sure thing to like, I'm not in full warm panic mode. If Kevin Durant didn't sign the extension, I'd be like really nervous. I'm not going to lie. Like Kevin Durant signed that 4-year extension, so we have him under contract. Like you said, the empowerment movement makes it a little different. You can just say, I want to leave, and kind of have to honor it to a certain extent. But this can go a lot of different ways. There's like a couple different options. I guess if you get Kyrie star for a star thing, I don't think that really happens. I think that there's an option where it's just Durant and Harden moving forward if the Nets front office is sick of Kyrie's antics. And there's a world where like it's the DEFCON 5 where it's like none of that works out. Harden walks or the Nets, something happens. I don't think that happens, but there is a world where that could happen. But I say it's like less than a 1%, like 0.1%. I'm not even going to manifest it, but I don't know what happens. It's kind of very fluid. None of these situations seems very likely. I'm hoping in the perfect world, Kyrie gets vaccinated or there's some like rule change. Then Harden turns on his play. The Nets win the championship. They both sign massive extensions. And the Brooklyn Nets get to try to run it back next season and years to come. But yeah.
And we completely forget about this episode.
We never talked about it because right now.
It's... Right. Never happened.
Then we go back and we delete the episode. That's what we do. No, but I mean, I'd be lying if I said I wasn't worried for the other two thirds outside of Kevin Durant. It's funny because last year when James Harden was here and like Kyrie was out for a bit and KD was out for a bit, we were all saying, oh, thank God for James Harden. Thank God we have this guy. He's doing everything he can to keep us afloat right now. And now we're all sitting here saying, oh, thank God for Kevin Durant. That guy, he is 100% keeping us afloat right now. If he's obviously top three MVP candidate this year, as he would be number one if Steph Curry wasn't just on an absolute other level right now. But I'm definitely glad that KD signed his extension. Definitely puts people at ease because, I mean, even if shit hits the fan with the other two, I mean, like you have Kevin Durant, people want to play with Kevin Durant. And there's loaded free agencies. And I'm not saying that I want other players other than James Harden and Kyrie Irving because I do not. But in a world where everything goes 100% awry, there are people that want to play with Kevin Durant. And Sean Marks is a good enough general manager to where he could figure things out. And it pains me to say, but I am worried. I'm not at the same time, because I trust Sean Marks and I trust the Nets and I trust Kevin Durant.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all on the same boat. Saturday? I don't remember what day it was. Every day kind of blends together. But I tweeted out, you cannot give this James Harden, that's to say, this version of James Harden, a max contract extension. And I took some heat from it on Twitter, to say the least. I got ratioed, as some of these kids would say. But there was there was also a fair amount of people who agreed with me. I ran some polls kind of asking if people felt James Harden was playing at an all-star level this year. And I personally do not believe he is thus far into the season. I believe the poll was about 58% said that he is not playing at an all-star level. But all in all, my favorite interaction with the entire thing was Billy Reinhart from Nets Daily. Huge fan. Want to throw that out there before I go into this discussion. But he brought up a good point on, if you don't give the extension to James Harden, what is the alternative? And kind of like Joe said, the alternative is a mystery. No one knows. None of us have the answer. But having Kevin Durant there makes the alternative to be like a pretty good chance that it's a good alternative if it comes down to it. I don't believe that this is the final form of James Harden we will see this year. So I do not believe we'll even have to worry about this discussion. But if James Harden finishes the season averaging 20 points, 5 turnovers on 40% shooting, do you guys offer him the max extension if you are the Nets? If you don't want to answer it because it's controversial, I don't blame you. You don't have to. Personally, I would not. I would trust in Kevin Durant, and I would trust in Sean Marks.
I think you'd have to know you're getting someone at a better, like, I don't think you run that risk. I think you just hope and pray that he has a better season. But if, like, unless you have like a handwritten agreement with like a Damian Lillard or Steph Curry or Giannis Antetokounmpo, you don't do it personally.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like there would have to be some serious tampering going on if we were to not offer James Harden the max contract extension. Like, we would face a hefty tampering fine because,
well, the tampering. Yeah. Punishment is like a future second round pick. We can afford to lose that.
Yeah, no, a lot of the heat and bulls. Yeah.
Yeah. But I guess my big thing with it is I'm just afraid to have that amount of money tied up over a 4 or 5 year period when I hate to say it, but he's showing signs of aging. I don't care how you look at it. He can't finish or he hasn't been able to get to the rim as much. But he is showing signs of slowing down. And I guess I'm looking more of a long-term outlook of, if you give him whatever the max is, 4 or 5 years, a bunch of money, it really kills your flexibility. And if it doesn't work out, it really won't work out hard. And that would put the Nets, I believe, as one of the worst teams in the league. And like you said, you don't want to mess around with that Kevin Durant time, but that's just my thoughts on it.
You go, Joe. My bad.
Oh, I was just going to say, like, I mean, like, going into this season, there was, like, if you were to tell me this scenario was to happen in the beginning of the season, I would say, okay, then this upcoming free agency, there's guys like Zach LaVine and Bradley Beal who are going to be available. But Right. Now when you look at it, they're both on very good teams as opposed to they have not been for the last however many years. And now both of their teams are very successful. So now that possibility is out the window. It makes it even more scary because I can't see either of those guys leaving now.
Yeah. The way you put that makes total sense, because I think everyone assumed LaVine was gone after this year, but the Bulls really had a great offseason when people didn't expect them to. And they're kind of just like one of the class of the teams of the East now. The Wizards are definitely overperforming too. But going into this year, honestly, I think if you ask Nets fans who had the best chance of winning MVP on this team, I think Durant and Harden would have been like 1A and 1B, because there was a people forget, like, I don't know if people aren't forgetting in Nets world, but in general, last year Harden had a great case to win the MVP before he went down with his hamstring injury. The Nets that stretch with those two had like a 20-5 run, and Harden was like leading them some games when Kyrie was getting load managed, like especially like after that the West Coast trip where they swept the Warriors, Suns, Kings, Clippers, and was it Lakers? Yeah, Lakers. They, after that stretch, we were like, is James Harden the MVP of this league? Like now,
During that stretch, I put $100 down on Harden to win MVP, and then he got hurt, so that was fun.
Yeah,
it was like, 3 days later. I was so upset. It was like 3 days later. I was like, oh, great.
Going into the season, I was one of the many that, like Anthony said, that said James Harden is the favorite for MVP this year because he's just James Harden. With no Kyrie Irving, I knew the ball was going to be in his hands the entire game. And he's James Harden. So I'm like, oh, he's got a very good chance of MVP. And then I had him ahead of Durant for what I expected to win MVP. Now, I don't think he's a better player than Durant, but as terms of MVP in regular season, I was one of the many that said James Harden is the favorite for MVP this season heading into the season. And I hope it still turns around. And the discussion of, oh, should we give an aging superstar, because he is a superstar at max contract, doesn't matter because he is James Harden.
Yeah. It's honestly crazy where we are right now, like comparatively to last year when we acquired James Harden and we had that stretch, like you said. He was like the Nets, he was acquired by the Nets to be like the guy to like take over when Kyrie or Durant needed to like take breaks or have games off. And now it's just like, holy shit, like Kevin Durant's playing 40 minutes a game in December for worth basketball game. Like, how do we get to this point?
And James Harden was the savior last year. He was the savior of the Nets in the regular season. The Nets were like 11-12 or something, or 12-11. They weren't a good team.
Yeah. And I mean, like, we still got to just keep remembering, like, throughout all of this, we are still the number one seed in the East, which is absolutely insane. It's just many, many Nets fans feel, and rightfully so, that what we're doing right now, winning and staying afloat at the top of the East, it's not sustainable with how this team is playing.
Yeah. It's honestly insane that I could probably name every single game that the Nets big three has played together too. I just wanted to point that out.
Isn't it still like under 15 total?
I remember like the first one, I want to say the first one was the Nets Golden State game on the road. I think that's what it was.
It was the Cavs and they beat us.
That's right. And they didn't play – Durant didn't play the second one. I know the Golden State game was one of them, but then Durant had that injury that lingered. And I think they played, like, one or two to end the season against, like, the Bulls and someone else. Maybe, like, Orlando. And then they had that crazy, like, alley-oop play – that play with, like – where you know what I'm talking about, where Blake Griffin, like, saved it. And then the Celtics series. And then it was 20 seconds of this game against the Bucks, game one, and that was it.
Yeah.
That's honestly wild to think about, considering James Harden's been here since January of 2021. Sorry, he's been here for almost a year, and they played less than 15 games together.
Yeah, it's honestly sad to think of. Like, I don't even want to think of it because the basketball that we should be seeing and what we're actually seeing. Granted, the Nets are still first in the East, but like that would be the greatest show of basketball that anyone has seen, probably in definitely our lifetime, and probably back to the MJ days when they were just dominating.
100%. Oh, the Clippers game is actually my favorite one they played together. That TNT game was insane.
Yeah, that game was a lot of fun.
That was one of my favorite games of last year. They did all play that game, I'm pretty sure.
And then, Harden's future. I mean, obviously the Nets would most likely want him back regardless. And then we don't even have to go into the future outlook for Kyrie because there's about 3,000 things that could happen. And we simply don't have enough time in the year, the rest of this year, to talk about it.
That's not for sure.
So maybe we'll attempt it in 2022 and we can give ourselves a full 12 months to do an episode and talk about what could happen with Kyrie Irving next year. Injury roundup for the game tomorrow. There's really only Joe Harris. I think Anthony said it before that James Johnson and Cam are both off the injury report. So the Nets should be relatively healthy. Obviously, they don't have Kyrie and they don't have Joe Harris, which are two starters. They're still down. But from the team that they've had the last couple weeks, they should have everyone available. And they've got four games this week, so it's going to be a busy week.
The Mavs have some injuries, though. The Mavs have Luka, Tim Hardaway, and Porzingis all game-time decisions, and Willie Cauley-Stein's out.
I always feel like whenever someone's a game time decision against the Nets, they always play.
Like, Joel Embiid. And then Joel Embiid's been questionable for every Nets game ever and played every single one.
Always plays. Porzingis is probable tomorrow, I believe. So I think he's going to play.
Hopefully Luka doesn't play. That'd be nice.
Yeah, I mean, and then the Rockets. The Rockets on Wednesday. The Rockets have won 6 games in a row. Like, what? How does that happen?
Revenge game, though. James
after losing 15 in a row, right?
Yeah, that's nuts.
Yeah. So they were on pace to have the worst record in NBA history by far. And all of a sudden, they've won 6 games in a row. Boom, that's gone. So, like, yeah, they're the Rockets, but they're playing good basketball right now. So the Nets can't take them lightly. But, I mean, the Mavs don't play great defense. The Rockets typically don't play great defense. Obviously, Atlanta doesn't play great defense. And then the Detroit Pistons are the Detroit Pistons. So these are 4 good games this week for James Harden to get rolling, build some confidence, and go into the rest of the season playing well. So that's pretty much what I'm looking for this week is obviously, like Joe said a couple episodes ago, just win. The Nets have been doing that, and Joe doesn't like it, apparently, even though he told them to just win. But we won't go into that. But I want to see James Harden playing well in these 4 games, which I think every Nets fan wants to see. Whether you're a James Harden stan or not, a good James Harden would be a good Nets team, which is what we all want.
Yeah, I totally agree. Hopefully we have a nice little road trip. Keep winning on the road. I think we're on like our best road star in franchise history. I think we're like 8-2 or 9-2 now. I know they're home. Yep. Oh, they're on the road in their whole road the whole week. So definitely want to build on that. It's not a brutal road stretch. So I think it shouldn't be like that terrible, you know.
Yeah. So
you guys want
Are we giving our predictions now?
Yeah, so let's go. First time we're doing this, we're going to pick each game. We're not going to go record on the week. We're going to pick each game, and we're going to track it throughout the rest of the season and see who picks the best. So we'll go game by game. So we'll start with the Mavs. I don't know who wants to start. If anyone has a preference, it doesn't matter to me.
You go first, Joe.
Yeah, why? Because I lost. I'll take us to win against Dallas.
Okay, Anthony?
I am going to say we win against Dallas as well.
All right, I'm going to be the Debbie Downer of the group. I'm going to go with a loss.
Ooh.
And then I'll start the Rockets. We are ending that win streak. The Nets are going to obliterate the Rockets on Wednesday. So I'm going to take a win for that game.
I'll take a win against the Rockets as well.
They're going to win against the Rockets as well.
Okay, and then Atlanta on Friday, I am going with a win.
I'll take a loss against Atlanta.
I'll take a win against Atlanta.
And then Detroit, if you guys don't say win, I might be kicking you out of the podcast, but I will start with a win.
Yeah, I think this is a pretty clear-cut win.
I'm going to go win.
Anthony, you hesitated there. Are you okay?
I'm sure you're going to win. I think we're due to lose to a bad team, so that's why I was thinking about it, but I'll go win.
All right,
so you had lost against Atlanta?
I had lost against Atlanta, yeah.
Okay, so we got Joe. We have all of us winning against – we have me and Joe winning against Dallas, Cody a loss. All three say win against Atlanta. Me and Cody have wins against – oh, no, wins against Houston. Me and Cody have wins against Atlanta. Joe has a loss. Then we all have wins against Detroit. So we have 3-1, 3-1, and I have 4 now.
Yep.
Ooh, high hopes over there for Anthony. That's 2 weeks in a row you predict an undefeated week, Anthony.
Yes. I'm feeling confident this week.
Like, you know what? They ended up losing a game last week. So I think my 3-1 is pretty solid.
I agree, also 3-1, but what's going to be that one?
I have a feeling if it is a loss, it is Atlanta. My opinion. I think tomorrow we're going to – we usually respond well to losses. Have we lost consecutive games or did we?
I think
we haven't lost consecutive games.
Off the top of my head, I can't remember.
I can get that answer for you. Just give me 1 second.
I could just picture Clint Capella giving us absolute hell.
We have not lost football games.
Yeah, we have not. We lost the first game 1 and then lost, and that was the closest. I was losing 2 out of 3, but we have not lost back-to-back games.
I don't think we've. Huh?
What was our highest winning streak?
I think it was five.
Yes, it is five. Yeah. We went on a five-game streak and then a four-game streak. Or no, then a three-game streak and a four-game streak. Win streak. Anything else you guys want to talk about? The report is constantly changing for other teams, so we're not going to project that far into the week based off injuries. Like you said, the Mavs game is tomorrow, and they have those three huge players that are questionable or probable, so it'll definitely be noteworthy to see kind of what happens there. But overall, I just think it should be another positive week for the Nets record-wise, whether the performance matches up with the result is one thing, but as long as you keep getting the result, the performance can gradually catch up to it.
You guys want to give like each one bold take to end the episode for the week?
Yeah, sure. Anthony, you want to go first since you brought it up? You must have something in your mind.
I do. I say Blake Griffin gets back into the rotation this week and is a key rotation piece moving forward. I'd say it's one of the later games, maybe against Atlanta, or maybe he comes for a revenge game against the Pistons.
Okay, I like it. I'm going to go next, Joe. I'm going to say, since I have talked a lot of shit about this player, whether it is on Twitter or the podcast, that James Harden will win Eastern Conference Player of the Week, and he will average a 25-point triple-double on the week. I said it.
I like it.
I don't like it. It's very bold. I don't like it, but I said it.
That's definitely bolder than triple-double, mine.
Eastern Conference Player of the Week, James Harden.
All right, I'll go mine. I will say that Cam Thomas has his first career 20-point game this week.
Ooh. Okay. I could see that in the Detroit Houston game.
Yeah, I could. That's the one I'm going for. And then I think he's going to keep building off that. And he's getting around 20, 25 minutes a game a lot of nights. So I'm hoping that one of these games he really turns it up.
No one wanted to throw out that Kyrie Irving gets vaccinated.
Yeah, hell no.
I'll leave that to some other people.
My bold, my dream bold take is the plant-based vaccine gets approved by the FDA.
Can you imagine Twitter when if Kyrie Irving gets vaccinated, gets cleared to play, how hyped Nets Twitter would be?
Oh, it's gonna be wild.
I would love that.
It's gonna be the best day for Nets. It'll be the best day for Nets Twitter since Kevin Durant signed the extension.
Yeah, wait. You know what? We're always jinxing stuff. So I'm gonna say, I'm gonna say plant-based vaccines suck. They're never gonna get approved. So they will get approved.
No, I think Kyrie, once he gets his vaccine, he'll need a 6-month ramp up anyway, according to Nash. Sure. So it's okay.
You'll be ready for the finals.
He'll be ready for next season when New York City will say you must have not the plant-based vaccine right after the Nets get the max contract. But before we get too far into a world of fiction, I think it's a good time to end. As always, please tweet at us, comment, like this podcast, subscribe. We'd love to have more of an interaction with the fans. We will hopefully be getting a guest back in here soon. We just really wanted to focus more in on the play of our Brooklyn Nets these last couple episodes, I would say week and a half. Once again, subscribe, comment, like, tweet at us any questions. We'd love to answer them. This is your host Cody Mallory from the Sports Ethos Nets podcast, once again being joined by Anthony Dittmar and Joe Farrow. Thank you guys, and we look forward to speaking to you on our next episode.
Men, if you're ready to reclaim your edge, listen up. I used to be held back by constant bathroom trips with multiple wake-ups during my sleep and looking for restrooms whenever I was out. Then I discovered Better Man. After just 2 months, I started experiencing fewer trips to the bathroom, less urge to go, and I even slept through some nights. I feel a noticeable boost in my overall well-being, even sexual stamina. It gives me the freedom and confidence to live life on my terms. Better Man is clinically tested and trusted by thousands of men over 25 years. Ready to take back control? Go to BeBetterNow.com to order your supply today.
That's BeBetterNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed. Individual results may vary.